Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most family-friendly podcast network.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Plumbing the Death Star, where we ask the important questions like, which cautionary PSA could you star in?
Alright, so... like, I think, so, a cautionary PSA has to be one that I can, you know, relate to myself right now. And one of the biggest kind of problems I've had in past relationships and interpersonal skills is that I'm a bit of a workaholic. You know, I put too much stock in...
Depressing start to the episode. Zammit reveals his broken relationships.
Just to clarify before we begin. So we are picking a PSA, public service announcement. Yes. It's like a very special episode. So we're picking a kind of problem or a kind of thing we need to be cautioned against. And a fictional character or a TV show to teach us that lesson.
That's
kind of the operation here.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's how I'm interpreting.
Okay,
the
great. No, just needed a little bit of clarification.
That's fine.
Hey, Jackson, ring, ring,
what?
Ring, ring.
Hello.
Hello, Jackson Bailey. This is not
Joel
Dusha.
This
is a fella from the government. Hey, Plumbing the Death Star has been hired to do a very special episode or a PSA.
You should call my boss, Joel Zammit, not me.
He didn't answer his phone. I think he's at work.
How did you get this number?
Hello? Great question. I'm the government. These things just happen for me.
Okay.
When I think of a number, I just get it.
I'm cooking in the background if you can hear sizzling. I'm making a panini.
Oh, what's in the panini?
Don't you have something to ask me, the government?
Well, yeah, my question is now, what is in the panini?
This is it. Are you sure you're from the government? You have any proof?
Yeah, I've faxed you through my badge. Anyway.
Fax? A badge? You faxed a badge?
Yes.
Honey, I think I'm being scammed. Can you check the fax machine for a badge? Oh my god, it's real. I'm so sorry, Mr. Government. What do you need?
I need Plumbing the Death Star to make a PSA about whatever you choose, but we need you to help the youth stay less dangerous.
Okay,
a government mandate contacting anyone, like an entertainment organization, being like, we need you to do a PSA. Your choice. Whatever you do.
Whatever you think's a problem. Go ahead.
Is there anything
a problem
right now that you think as the government that we should be focusing on?
No.
Oh, we're faithing you. You got it. Thank you, Mr. Government. As I said, I'm a bit of a workaholic. It has been a bit of a problem.
Yeah,
and so I think a great PSA would be to not work so much and to, like, enjoy, you know, stop and, you know, smell the flowers, basically. Like, enjoy life as it was. And I think the best way for this to happen...
Yeah,
live in the now. And I think the best way for this to happen would be a very special episode of The Nanny... where I play one of Mr. Sheffield's playwright of friends and kind of rope him into helping write the next great play. And I think Fran Fine, the nanny, would be the perfect person to kind of explain to me that I need to stop and enjoy life, live in the now, and through me, Mr. Sheffield, will also learn that lesson. So it's a bit of a twofer.
Joel Zammit! Yeah, that's great. It's easy to imagine Fran
Fine. Yeah, you gotta stop going to work and fuck your boss instead.
That's the only way. You gotta fuck your boss because you're in love with your boss. Fran Fine, what? Excuse me?
Sorry, Fran.
Watch out, Cece.
Hello, I'm Joel Zammit. We haven't met. What?
So I think it'd be great.
Oh, Mr. Zammit.
I think it'd be great. Yeah. It'd be me. There'd be like a big desk and both myself and Mr. Sheffield. We'd be like spitballing ideas. And it'd be like a crazy... like basically I'm imagining almost like a sequel to Cats... like a Cats 2 that we've come up with. Because he's always having a bit of a rivalry with Andrew Lloyd Webber in the series. So something like that, maybe like Andrew Lloyd Webber could guest star in that episode as well to be like, I need to do a sequel to Cats 2. And so, that's, you know, he's hired on his protege, me, and so me and Miss Sheffield have to kind of like write this kind of crazy script. Niles might get on my nerves, or I'll get on his nerves. Going to be,
well,
great.
I sort of picture Niles
and CC. Oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah, of course. I would love to see this episode of The Nanny. I really like the idea of Fran Fine and Niles having a conversation, and Niles in his kind of droll butler way being like, "I don't understand why he's doing Cats 2. Nope, literally nobody wants that play. Nobody in the history of the world, Fran Fine, has ever wanted a sequel to Cats." I think that would be a good scene.
Yes.
And it's true.
It's very true.
Let's nut out the episode. So it's got to begin, I think, with Fran Fine establishing that maybe already Mr. Sheffield isn't showing her enough attention.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield, you gotta stop going to work.
Or something along the lines of, like, he's just come off writing, like, a really big play or something like that. So he's already gone through the motions of, like, being, like, too much involved with work and he's not spending time with the kids. So
I think run of the show, I want to set this toward the end, where their will they, won't they, Fran Fine, Mr. Sheffield relationship has become they will and they're together, because I think that suits it better.
Okay,
and
I'll agree.
And I like the idea of, it's sort of like the beginning is maybe Mr. Sheffield being like, "Fran, I'm so glad to have finally finished that big play. Now we can go on that holiday I've always promised you."
And then there's Mr. Sheffield!
Ding dong! Ding! Dong, and that's the door, and then you come in, and the crowd, "Woo, it's Joel Zammit, famous podcaster." "I'm so excited, he's on my favorite TV show, The Nanny."
Yes.
And then Mr. Chip, "This is my good friend, Joel Zammit." And you're like, "I've got the greatest idea for a play ever. Remember Cats? What about Cats 2?
I've got the rights to the sequel."
That's good. The idea of you just shoving a whole bunch of papers in Mr. Sheffield's hands, like the sitcom doesn't understand what the rights to a play are or look like.
Yeah. I imagine something kind of like a rolled up scroll that I just go,
"Yeah, I've got the rights to Cats too." Fran, you understand. And then off
and, like,
they go
this
to
could
their...
be his big break, because he's just like, oh, you know, giving it like a big fuck you to Andrew Lloyd Webber, like he always wants to. So
absolutely.
This is going
to
be
great. Finally, Fran, I can write the worst play ever and tarnish the reputation of the first play, by making a sequel that is very terrible.
And I can put it right up to that Mr. Andrew Lloyd Webber's asshole.
This is a controversial episode of The Nanny.
It's the first ever episode of The Nanny to feature Mr. Sheffield saying asshole.
Andrew Lloyd Webber described himself as personally offended by the episode. So how are we going to illustrate that Mr. Sheffield is being tainted by your workaholic?
So what's going to happen, it's going to be that kind of thing where it's not quite like a montage, but like a couple of like different scenes that kind of build it up to be like, you know, oh, obviously this is not the first time it's happened, or like the first time you show, but then it kind of keeps going on.
Yeah, okay.
So like, for example, like a lovely date that they've gone, like a very fancy restaurant that they've had to like book, you know, months in advance. And so it's just the two of them. And then I rock up a bit like unshaven, unkept, pull up a seat. They're having like spaghetti or whatever. I put my fork into one of them and be like, "Oh, we're eating spaghetti." Have a big slurp of that. Put down my like 2009 Apple Air or whatever it is, old and ratty. Slam that down. A couple of like legal pads full of notes and be like, "Anyway, for act 4. And I start
thinking,
like talking about
I got a new cat for you, Mr. Sheffield. We call him Finklehop the Chicken Cat." And you slam down a hasty sketch in the middle of their garlic bread or whatever.
Thank you,
Fran, and you eat her spaghetti.
I like that Zammit has a laptop in this, indicating that maybe this is a revival episode.
The Nanny came back and they could swear. That's what happened. The nanny is back with cussing. And
"Oh, Mr. Sheffield, you stupid cunt."
"Whoa, the nanny's cool." That's
Australians and the UK audience love it. Americans on the fence.
This is not what I wanted out of a nanny reboot at all. That's great as well, because it's not only is it a nanny reboot, it's an alternate timeline nanny reboot from our timeline. That's good.
So there's like that kind of a situation, and it kind of like escalates a bit further. Like imagine they're we're kind of revamping it as well. Maybe they're going on like a little romantic Airbnb away.
Ooh,
and like they're both in their robes. Obviously, there's some kind of like allusions to being like maybe they just fucked or whatever. You know, those kind of like little sly wink and nods that the nanny absolutely loves.
Yeah.
So after that, maybe they're even like just come out of a jacuzzi or something. And sure enough, I burst in the door, like, you know, imagining marinara stains on my shirt. And being like, hey, Mr. Chef, oh, hey, Fred, how you going? Anyway, oh, we're getting in the tub. I start disrobing and be like, I've got some great ideas.
And marinara kind of oil and sauce filling the tub from your pants, which you didn't take off.
Joel Zammit is playing Jackson Bailey in this episode.
Eating like, nothing but spaghetti and thinking nothing but cats. That's great.
Just kind of like inadvertently third wheeling it, but like, not deliberately. I just am very excited about the play. And so getting in there, getting like all these like notes and that kind of wet from the jacuzzi splashing. And then like obviously like, but the problem here is while Fran is getting more and more annoyed with me, Mr. Sheffield is kind of becoming more and more like, yes, like
he's enamored with
pattern.
The idea, of course.
He's starting writing down notes while also in the jacuzzi. You know, we have like, you know, like scrunched up paper just kind of floating around.
Fran Fine sitting there, crossed arms in her bikini. Can I pitch you a scene? Okay, so it's we open on Fran Fine, or we open on Mr. Sheffield and Fran Fine, and they're about to get intimate. Fran Fine is in some very sort of silky negligee.
Oh, yes.
Maybe Mr. Sheffield's in just like some nice pajamas, and they're clearly about to kiss, and then you knock on the door and you're like, oh, can I just talk to you for a moment, Mr. Sheffield? And he's like, I'll be back in just a moment, Fran Fine. And then they leave, and then we get like an hour later on the screen, and it's Fran Fine lying in bed, clearly very sexually frustrated, and the sounds of a cat song coming from above as you two stomp around singing.
Yeah.
Fingle hop, the chicken cat, the chicken cat, the chicken
cat. May I suggest another little quick amendum to that, like, one scene?
Yeah, please.
An hour later, she's very sexually frustrated, hearing all that kind of stuff. She stomps up and, like, opens the door and is like, Mr. Sheffield, your dinner's getting cold.
Oh!
Like, a little bit of euphemism there.
And that's the rudest thing I've ever heard.
And that's... then, and very dismissive, Mr. Sheffield is like, it's okay, Fran. You can order Uber Eats. I'll eat later.
Just put it in the fridge. I'll have it. I'll have it tomorrow. And then Fran Fine crosses her arms again, and there's a because like
arms
the
is
audience.
Like, maybe there won't be a tomorrow, Mr. Sheffield.
And there's me poring over a script. Like, what's for dinner? What are we eating?
Are we eating more spaghetti?
Can you hit me up some? Yeah, that'll be great.
And maybe because it's like more modern and they can swear now, instead of an ooh, the audience is like, we want Fran Fine's pussy eat. Maybe that's what is yelled by the crowd instead.
Rather than an applause sign for the audience, it's we want Fran pussy at flashing.
Absolutely. It's a more modern take.
It's more modern
on the nanny.
Take.
It's a sexy, horny, modern take on the nanny. That's exciting. Okay, so at what point do you learn the lesson? Because that's got to happen. Or do you never learn the lesson, but Mr. Sheffield does?
I think I got this, right? So I think I maybe learned the lesson that I've maybe pushed it too far, because maybe it's like one of those, like, a month later or something along those lines where it's like things have just gotten real kind of haywire.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like maybe Fran walks in on us and we're discussing maybe like a cat's three birds or something along those lines.
Damn.
And then being like, and then we'll set it up for cat's four reptiles. And then there's kind of like this realization that maybe we've gone a little bit insane. And this
You've
is where Fran
mind.
Has to be like, honey, no one even liked cats. No one's going to care
line.
For birds.
The crowd loves it. That's an incredible.
Can I
incredible line.
Pitch an alternative ending that also may teach you a lesson? Joel Zammit, you're stumbling out of a marinara bar, and Fran hits you with her car.
I need my pussy eat, and then credits.
Thoughts?
And then maybe both great maybe, options, to be honest.
Maybe as you're lying in hospital, you look out the window and you see some birds, and you're like, ah! And that's where we cut to the end credits.
Or what will happen is that, like, you know, again, Mr. Sheffield, through like the advice of Fran and all that kind of stuff, that we've gone too far, will be like, you know what, this is bad. Whatever, I need to spend time with my wife. I'm pulling out. You know, this is like whatever. And then in a bit of like a cosmic irony, it kind of like as they're walking down, like, you know, whatever, they see like Cats 2 opening. And,
oh,
like,
yes.
Rave reviews. Yeah. It's like, it's a masterpiece and all those kind of things. And then Mr. Sheffield's like, and Fran's like, oh, well, I got my pussy yet. And then it's credits.
See, at least in our two endings, the original two endings, you're taught a lesson. But that lesson, the one you just pitched, that last one, is there's no such thing as too much work.
I think the real lesson is eat out your nanny. I think that's the real lesson of this episode of The Nanny. I think that's a takeaway.
Yeah, that's a powerful statement from the Death Star.
Again, same kind of ending, but they see like Cats 2 opening and there's no line, and then there's like, you know, no one wanted this, bad play gets a badder sequel.
Why do this, who was this for?
Yeah, like maybe some cat puns that are there. Like, you know, meow thanks or something like that. I don't know. It's not great.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Think of a cat pun.
Meow thanks.
Cat, oh no, oh cat, cat no. All of these are good. Any of these they can use.
Meow thanks.
Purr, terrible. You know, anyone.
Yeah, just like trying to force meow into anything. This play was meowerable, and people are like, what are they trying to say?
For? I didn't know who the play was for, and I don't know who this bad review is for.
Meow mediocre at best is surely the best you can do with that.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll use that.
Meowfully bad, I guess they could go for.
Tries to make the audience purr, makes them hiss instead.
Yeah. Also great. Also
perfectly
great.
Bad.
So you got that review coming off, right? And like people write, and then it kind of pulls out. And that's Niall writing the review.
Oh, there you go.
That's a good sting.
Then the Nanny theme.
Well, that's pretty good.
You learned your lesson, and that's all we can ask for this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we also, maybe. Yeah. Hang on, let's add another layer to the ending.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, zooms out, Niles is writing it. Zooms out a little bit more. There's a knock on the door. It's Cece. And then she says, Niles, it's time to get my pussy ass.
Oh, yes! Perfect! Because that's the real lesson of the episode.
And then he'll be like, I'll be right with you, Cece. But then he goes to it because
he understands the life.
He knows to live in the now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to eat pussy.
He gets work that's and great. Play.
Yes.
Writing rude reviews.
Oh, that's the name of the title of the episode. Work and play. Beautiful.
That's beautiful.
And then in brackets, nanny's pussy. Like working.
Nanny. Eat out your nanny.
Yeah.
eat out your nanny. Yeah.
And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, if you want to keep up to date with everything we do, why not join our newsletter? Just check the show notes or head to our website, sanspantsradio.com, and sign up today.
Well, I was thinking the lesson I need to learn is to not play in trash. And I was thinking this would make a good 70s Superman episode or comic book. So, like, you know when they would just publish, like, a PSA and try to make it cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're trying to make it cool for kids, you know, but it's not. It's not cool for kids. And so I guess it would be Superman teaching me not to play in garbage. I think the kind of pitch for this comic book. Mm-hmm. So I guess it would have to open with me playing in garbage and Superman discovering that. How do we think that would come about?
Would it be Superman discovering it or maybe something, because it's in the 70s, something to do with, like, I'm thinking like his best friend Jimmy Olsen.
Like, oh yeah, you know, Jimmy Olsen. Maybe Jimmy Olsen is doing a piece for the Daily Planet on the trash heap outside of Metropolis, and he's there to do the. And then he finds me, a grown man, playing in garbage.
Yeah,
and he's like, "That's like are
something
you okay?
along the lines of, you know, we need to clean the streets up and make our, you know, all these trash heaps go away. But unfortunately, we have a man now who's playing with it and is like." Yelling
it's
at
still
anyone
good, Jimmy Olsen. It's still good, dude.
Rid of it.
Look at this old toy car. It's got a wheels, but you can pretend it's one that's had its wheels stolen.
Well,
and then I put it in the mud and I'm like, yeah!
Well, it's a 70s, so like the Cold War's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you're playing in trash and you keep playing in more and more trash and then eventually you're playing in depleted uranium.
So the lesson secretly is not don't play in trash, it's don't play near depleted uranium. Hey, Jimmy Olsen, come look at this headache material. It does this cool thing where it gives you a bad headache. Jesus Christ, Jackson, I gotta call Superman. Maybe it escalating, going through Jimmy Olsen, calling more and more authorities, and none of them can pull me away from the depleted uranium. Jimmy Olsen, it's shiny, like
this like man a, is like just constantly giving himself cancer.
We should help this man. No, no. And then I'm just hugging the metal drum because I've become attached. I like that a lot of this, I feel, is going to be like a debate with Superman where he, like, kneels down for some reason to be my height. I guess I'm on all fours.
Imagine you, like, crouched, like some kind of maniac, hugging it, maybe licking and whispering sweet nothings into this.
Maybe I pick up some of the uranium and I put it on my face and I'm like, Superman, I'm in Vietnam. And he's like, no. He puts his hand on my shoulder. No.
You're absolutely incorrect there.
You're coming in
uranium.
Is this
a PSA about not playing in trash? Something to do with depleted uranium? Or maybe PTSD because... you are you a war vet? I don't.
Were
I
you
don't
were
know.
You ever in Vietnam, Superman? No. I say it back. No.
This is 100% about playing in trash.
I love to play in trash, Superman. Okay, and nothing you do or the fire department do is gonna stop me. Especially this cool drum that gives me a headache, and then I'll keep playing in that and covering my skin in it. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel
so
like
you become a talking point, a bit of a piece, in the Daily Planet, and them talking about what they're doing with this uranium loving madman.
Does Jimmy Olsen get famous off talking about it? Is there also a lesson in, like, don't exploit this man who loves uranium? Like, Jimmy Olsen's going on, he's doing news, he's doing interviews, and I'm like, excuse me, I'm the man covering my face in uranium. I should be on TV. I got many lessons to learn.
Yeah. A lot of lessons. I think maybe Lois Lane is the one teaching Jimmy that lesson to not be so exploitative of the sources.
Yeah, I guess so.
And like, even though it is a journalistic right to report on the events, but it's a human right to try and help people in need.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Jimmy Olsen's like, is he in need? It seems like his fault. I don't. He could stop at any time.
Yes, and this is why he needs our help.
Because he won't. Yeah.
Does it count as a PSA if the lesson is some people deserve to die?
Superman's okay. He's not okay with killing, except in this one case. Superman's
maybe
like,
the world's
what if I
better
just,
off.
Well, maybe
know, I could just bury him. I could just bury him and it'd be fine.
It's a reboot of the famous Superman storyline of which he can't save Pa Kent because he has a heart attack. But in this, he can't save the boy who loves rubbing depleted uranium on his belly.
Superman, I'm like a hippopotamus. And I just slap it on my belly. No.
Jackson, you must stop at once. You will die.
Like a hippopotamus. I don't... Does he mean an otter? What is he talking about? I've met a hippopotamus. They don't slap their bellies with depleted uranium. Don't even slap their bellies with mud.
I don't know where he's getting his information. Though, why I'm trusting a man who puts uranium in his belly to be accurate, I couldn't say. Maybe Superman, he picks me up and he takes me into Metropolis and he's like, job done. And then I'm there the next day again and he's like, I've really got to figure out something. He will find his way back no matter what I do.
Picks you up, takes you to the Fortress of Solitude. You've got a uranium problem, sir, and it needs to stop.
Uranium is not even addictive. I don't know what you're getting out of this.
Get addicted to cigarettes like a normal man in the 70s.
Superman, you can take me wherever you want on the Earth. I will find my way back to that uranium.
I love
it. Superman giving you a box of, like, a carton of cigarettes. Smoke them if you got them, Jason. This is safer. My
smoke
Lord.
Up Jackson Bailey. And then a week later, I'm back at the uranium. I just got a cigarette in my mouth. I love having a cool long drag of Marlboro cigarettes after covering my belly in depleted uranium. What? It's an ad. This part's an ad.
Are you too a rhinoceros that slaps their belly with depleted uranium?
Jimmy Olsen is like constantly filming this and giving you airtime. There's a lot of think pieces of like, should we be giving this person airtime?
Yeah, does he have a good platform? He's telling us to smoke and put uranium on our belly like an elephant. I don't know if he knows what animals are.
He seems to be using elephant, rhinoceros, and hippopotamus interchangeably at will.
Has Superman, he ever seen
for
any
questions.
Of these?
Superman has said, "I thought he meant otter at the start. I don't know why you, the general public, are so fixated on this particular
there
issue.
There are bigger problems here,
like
than
the
just
fact
this
that he
man.
Is slathering uranium on his belly. It doesn't matter, like whatever animal. But I've seen the cartoons; they're all very, very cute and very well drawn.
Yeah, it's great, but we need to help this man.
Brainiac hits something. Metropolis comes and goes, no one even notices. They just want to hear more about the boy who claims to be an otter with uranium on his guts.
I think the way that this particular PSA would start to reach its sort of crescendo would
its
be...
its natural conclusion.
Yeah, would be if the uranium gives me superpowers. So I think I've got to get... I got to rub it on my belly and maybe I become like a giant kind of grey monster man and I interchangeably again call myself the hippopotamus, the elephant, or the rhino. I'm the rhino perpelfalant. Look out! Superman, no, you're none of this.
My belly is so cold, it has...
Just so you giant and grey stomping your way. Superman with just an arm on your shoulder being like, you know, you are like four times his size, he's still looking down at you.
Yeah.
Shoulder, like hand on your shoulder. No.
But I'm the hippo propellophant.
You know, that's not a real.
I slapped all that uranium on my belly and it gave me hippo propellophant powers.
You're just big. You're a big fan.
You're very sick. You're very sick, Jackson.
Are you tired?
All the time.
Yeah. How's the headaches?
Really, really bad.
No. We're gonna take you somewhere. Batman might help. I don't know. It's just.
Is it a detox? Is that what happens next?
It's like a detox and cure or something like that.
I like to think this whole thing wraps up by being an ad for Tootsie Rolls. Like, Superman's like, I have just the solution. And he gives me a box of Tootsie Rolls and I'm like, gee whiz, all the sugar flavor. And then I'm regular again. I don't want to eat uranium anymore. You solved my problem with Tootsie Rolls. Buy them today.
Superman just muttering like, you ate the uranium? I mean, I get that you were slapping it on your belly, but eating it
I don't need to shovel my face full of uranium like an elephant anymore, Superman. I have Tootsie Rolls. What are you saying?
No.
Please go away. Leave Metropolis forever.
It's one of the most famous Superman arcs.
Oh, absolutely. It's an arc. I thought it was a one-off comic. It's an arc. So much lore was established here that never it comes back in later issues down the track.
Yeah, for a while, Jimmy Olsen was blamed for the rise of Rhino...
For Tavolivus.
Or Tavolivus, or whatever you're...
Rhino Tavolivus.
Rhino Tavolophus, yes. Yeah. He's sort of blamed for the destruction that you've caused.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're like haphazardly and incorrectly used as a metaphor for the Cold War.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like very sloppily.
Nobody can quite tell what the point of the comic book was. They were like, what was it? What was it actually against?
He's a symbolism of America's obsession with nuclear war.
Yeah, because he loved to rub it on his belly, and I guess the use of elephants, hippos, and rhinos is about poaching, maybe?
Or maybe about America's justification on having nuclear wars and how they change the goalposts every time. It's quite a deep book.
Yeah. Talk about the exploitation of what America's doing to other countries.
Is it about colonialism? Maybe it's really hard to tell. What was the Tootsie Roll bit? Why did that fix it? At one point, he advertised cigarettes as well. It's
really good commentary on America's obsession with capitalism, and that capitalism can cure almost anything. And that's why it is so. So even though while this character of Jackson slapped unhealthy uranium on his belly and ate it. Eating a sugary substance that is solely made for and by Americans fixed him. Is just kind of like helping that the fallacy of the American dream.
It's interesting that he was clearly addicted to the uranium, but also advertised cigarettes, which at the time were in the news as being quite an addictive substance. I don't know if that was intentional or if the cigarette, maybe Marlboro didn't know what they were getting into. I can't imagine they would have been happy about that.
Yeah, Marlboro have distanced themselves, a company famous for probably not distancing themselves enough.
This time they were like, I don't know if I want to be associated with the hip-hop elephant. who closes out the book by saying, I love cigarettes and Superman. So... What's that about?
Just the last panel of like shoving a Tootsie Roll in whilst having a sneaky drag.
Yeah, I really love Superman and cigarettes and uranium. I didn't learn the lesson.
It's another commentary on Americans' obsession with gluttony and excess. And,
it's
really
a powerful piece of literature.
It's weirdly predicted some of the problems that would be facing the USA later in this century. So,
the betrayal of citizens in the media. It also predicts fast food nation, 9/11 probably.
Yeah. I think that features in. Maybe could do. It's a dense little comic. So
it's very similar to reading the Bible. You can take from it whatever you want.
Yeah. You can interpret it however you like. Superman is baffled by all of it. Seems like he doesn't want to be there for any of it.
With Superman's constant mutterings of no, the writer trying to get a message through to the creative team and the editors in charge. Yeah. Because if you look behind the scenes at the time, some of the writers were having a bit of a problem with the editorial staff and their willingness to take any kind of money from big cigarettes, big uranium, big rolls.
Big uranium paid largely for this comic book to be printed, which is equally baffling because whilst it isn't, I guess, overtly anti-uranium, it's not pro-uranium either.
Big Uranium coming out being like, this is the closest we're going to get to a pro-uranium book, so we'll pay whatever for it.
The kid doesn't fucking die, so we'll take it. He seems fine with all the uranium he slapped on his goddamn belly. He'll be right.
Yeah, we'll fucking pay for uranium guts or whatever you call in this book. Who gives a shit? You telling me that it's pro-ish uranium? Do you know how fucking hard that is to find in this economy? Are you kidding me?
We'll fucking take it.
If you want to make a sequel, we'll give you $1 billion.
What an explosive press conference the uranium lobby has presented us with. I'll fight anyone who says that's not a good comic book. Line up. Let's go.
Who wants some chin music?
Hands up who wants to die. I will end you.
I'm Mr. Uranium, and today is the day you die.
The time has come for me to punch heads clean off.
This is the captured in beautiful panel form
in the sequel of this
Uranium Man.
Yeah, it's good to imagine a kid.
It becomes a little bit of a documentary series as well as part
of
the DC
mythos. It moves away from being
a
confusing ad. Yeah. It's good to imagine a kid in the 50s, like chewing gum, finishes reading that comic book and is like, what do I do now? What is the takeaway? What is my next step? Then he throws it in the bin. It's the most binned comic book in American history.
Yeah. Pristine, you know, copies sell for -$2.
You get a refund.
They did a study in 2008 and Garbage Island in the Pacific is 99% this one comic book that they threw out so much.
Yeah. All in all, great PSA.
Yeah, thank you. I think we all learned a lot. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was dense with lessons. That's important.
Yeah. My PSA is that Bugs Bunny is going to teach me not to drink chemicals from under the sink. Not because they'll make me sick, but because they taste bad.
Oh, why are you drinking chemicals under this sink when there's lots of delicious chemicals you could be drinking?
Yeah.
Like orange juice.
Hey, what's up, Doc? Hey, have you tried drinking some of this Coca-Cola? It's better for your guts.
Is the idea that Bugs Bunny will make the chemicals taste better? You're drinking them wrong. Put sugar in them. How you drink sink chemicals.
I just feel like this isn't Bugs Bunny. I feel this is kind of like an off-brown Fugs Runny.
Fugs Runny, the diarrhea rabbit.
And it's, everyone is just like a little bit confused because was this Warner Brothers approved? Because he's talking like something out of Toontown.
It's really good to imagine the,
yeah,
you know, like the...
Don't eat that drink the chemicals under the sink.
My taste bad.
Bugs Bunny.
You know the splash image of, like, the Looney Tunes where it'll say, like, the title?
Yeah.
It's great to imagine that coming on really quick and saying, Fugs Runny, the diarrhea rabbit. Just, like, really quick so that as a kid watching it, you're like, wait, what was that? You're like, wait, did that say the diarrhea rabbit? Gee, Fugs Runny, should I be drinking this chemicals under the sink?
Not if you want diarrhea, kid.
Is Fugs Runny pro or anti-diarrhea? It's a really important clarification.
Yeah, this is, we need to know, JD. This is integral.
Well, I
feel... Is he helping you avoid or get diarrhea?
Well, he's anti-drinking chemicals from under the sink, but I don't think chemicals from under the sink would give you diarrhea. I think it would just burn your guts.
Yeah, okay. So...
Is he like, okay... Let's see. Maybe he's like pro prune juice or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, again, like how we're trying to sell Tootsie Rolls, maybe, for Superman. This is like, hey, you know, big prune drink are like, we need to get in touch with the kids. We've cornered the geriatric market.
Yeah,
they love it, but we need
pants.
The kids.
We gotta
what are kids doing
out.
Too much of? Ah, they're drinking those chemicals under the sink. So what if we make our drink more delicious and look better? Then those chemicals under the sink. This is our ad campaign.
I can already see, Dusha, the controversial nature of this episode of Fugs Runny the Diarrhea Rabbit, because I imagine he's like, don't drink that under the sink, drink this! And he shows you the prune juice, which is also kept under the sink, leading kids across the nation to search under the sink for something to drink. Yes. Maybe that's the song he sings. Under the sink,
kept under the sink, and
drink.
The bottle design looks exactly like a bottle of bleach.
Yep.
Because a bunch of like execs were like, what are kids already drinking?
Chemicals under the sink, they love it.
There are so many PSAs about it, so that means the ideal place for our prune drink is under the sink. And then we'll get kids across the nation shitting their pants like the prune lobby wants.
Just like their hero, Fugs Runny.
The diarrhea rabbit. So, when the government calls back and being like, plumbing the Death Star, we asked you to do a PSA for whatever you wanted, and you picked eating out your nanny.
Yes.
An advertisement for big uranium and kids shitting their pants more. That's what you wanted to raise awareness for.
I'll be like, hey, government, you said we could do whatever we liked, so...
Hey,
your brief was open to interpretation, and we definitely opened it.
Which one do you think the government would be the happiest with?
I mean, one of them is not actively harmful. In fact, it's got net positives, and that's eating out your nanny. The other one is kids shooting themselves is not good, and I don't know what my comic book was about. So eating out your nanny is the best lesson to get out of this entire episode. Yeah. If you're going to take away anything, take away that, frankly.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Fugs Runny.
Fugs Runny the Diary Rabbit. I have to ask, so does your episode of Fugs Runny the Diary Rabbit start with you drinking chemicals and being like, none of these taste good?
Yes.
But you're still drinking them? Yeah, great.
Yeah. Okay. It burns!
It just hurts my throat and belly. Yeah. Wow, kid! What? Have a look now, you little motherfucker! And then you look down
the Hey! What's up, cunt?
Have a look now, you little motherfucker! Is a great tagline for Fugs Runny.
Have a look now, you motherfucker!
That's what he says instead of that's all, folks. Yibbity 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 yibbity. Have a look now, motherfucker! That's what the Porky Pig says. Diarrhea. Yeah.
Do you think
that your seems? Yeah.
Do you think that will work? Do you reckon kids will watch my cartoon and then go and shit their pants?
I think they will. Mm. I think yours will be very effective.
Yeah.
You know,
because that's something you can do at home with no extra effort. Yeah. Really.
You don't need drinking... to have a nanny. You know, yeah. Uranium's like,
famously hard to find.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, and then also you're doing something like for like don't drink the chemicals under the sink. You're touching a point that not many like. Other PSAs will do. They're just like, it's dangerous. It's going to kill you. It's going to burn you. You're like, it tastes yuck.
Yeah.
It's not good. Exactly.
It's not a forbidden soda. It's not like an unlocked flavor of Coca-Cola. It tastes yuck. No.
It tastes and also, yuck as opposed to delicious prune juice.
Yeah, which is great. And the kids will love. And, you know, you're not saying, hey, you know kids are going to go down there anyway. Yeah. So you might as well put something that they can drink down there, i.e. prune juice.
It's a good distraction,
so
you know?
Is my PSA also... So not only is it just misinforming people and assuming that like prune juice is kept under the sink, but now I'm saying that you should keep your prune juice under the sink to give kids something tasty to drink?
Yeah, they're going to be down there anyway.
You gotta be like, hey, kids are going to always drink whatever under the sink, so you may as well put something yummy there. Like prune juice in this bleach container.
What's up, cunts? Don't forget to keep some prune juice under the sink for your kids to drink. Take a look at that, motherfucker!
Maybe even you take it a step further and you're like, put your chemicals in the fridge, because kids aren't going there. You might as well put your bleach in the fridge in a bottle that looks like milk, because kids aren't drinking from the fridge. No kid likes milk. Put the milk under the sink and keep your bleach in the fridge. And your one does the most harm, I think, ultimately.
Yeah.
There's a lawsuit lobbied against Fugs Runny the Diarrhea Rabbit.
Well, that's why history has forgotten him.
That's true. The end of the lawsuit wasn't financial. They were just like, you need to wipe Fugs Runny the Diarrhea Rabbit from existence.
It was a mind wipe.
Yeah.
We've hired those MIB cunts.
Yeah. It's like the end of Fantastic Beasts 1. We did a big mind wipe of the entire planet about Fugs Runny the Diarrhea Rabbit. Except, Dusha, for you, I guess, because you were in the cartoon.
Yeah.
And I guess you weren't paid and this was how they paid you. You received what you thought was a check in the mail and it just says, hey, sorry, we can't pay you, but don't worry, you'll remember Fugs Runny the Diarrhea Rabbit. That's how gifted to you.
My famous voice.
Yeah. That's great as I'd imagine you being like, damn, money would have been better. But, you know,
at least I remember. I've got the memories.
At least you've got the memories of Fugs Runny. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You came out of it pretty good in the end.
All those deaths were wiped under the rug and misremembered by history.
Yeah.
Mm. So you're not remembered as maybe television's greatest monster.
No.
Absolutely.
That's really, really, really powerful. And I think that's the takeaway message, I guess, from this episode.
Well, I was going to say, I think at the end of the day, Zamet's got the greatest message. It does the most net good. But Douches is the most doable. And I think I'm somewhere in the middle as just being, frankly, confusing. And I think that's the whole spectrum of what a PSA can bring you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And on that note, I've been Joel, and remember to eat out your nanny.
I've been Jackson, and remember to smoke cigarettes, eat Tootsie Rolls, and have a neutral opinion on uranium.
And I've been Joel Dusha, and remember to shit your pants, kids.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows on the SansPants Radio Network, just head to SansPantsRadio.com and consider joining the SansPants Plus community. There's over 20 bonus shows, a SansPants Plus Discord, exclusive video content, and discounts on merch. Just head to SansPantsRadio.com and follow the links.